Hello and welcome to Season 3 of the Pure Championship podcast. I'm Kem Anderson, and rather than having Chris Sampson alongside me, I'm joined by Ali Madden instead, who's arrived at Pure Championship FC on at least a one-year deal, replacing Chris, who's had to step away from the podcast due to other commitments. In this episode, we're going to take a look at the transfer business in the league so far, take a look at some of the new kits for the season, make our pre-season predictions for the league table, top scorer and best player, and discuss a few other bits and bobs as well. Ali, welcome to Pure Championship FC. How does it feel to be part of the team?
Feels bittersweet, Cammy. Obviously, I would rather not be here supporting a championship side, but such is life and such is the form of Kilmarnock Football Club that we've ended up here. I'm quite excited to see how we get on. I don't think any Kilmarnock fans are under any false pretenses that we are going to bounce straight back up, or that we have a divine right to bounce straight back up. We know that this will be a difficult season. It's a really competitive league, and I suppose most promisingly we'll have four derbies with Ayr. And on that note, I was walking back from the west end of Glasgow to my flat tonight, and I saw somebody wearing an Ayr United top, so that inspired both awe and surprise in equal measure, Cammy, but it's put me suitably in the mood to talk about championship football with you.
Excellent. So, yeah, I think you've got a few more comments about that Ayr United shirt to discuss later on, but we'll start by discussing some of the transfer business. Now, as always, the championship sees basically every club releases their players at the end of the season, keep a few, and then basically re-sign a whole squad again. And for the most part, that's been the case in the league, although, and I don't know how you feel about this, I've not actually been overly impressed by anyone's business. A few teams have signed one or two players, and like, yeah, they're quite good signings, but it's a strange kind of situation. As I say, most teams are releasing basically full squads and bringing in, and it's just a kind of merry-go-round. The same players are always kind of bouncing around the league, but it just, for some reason, it feels a little bit different this year. We'll start with Arbroath. They've lost a fair few players. They had a lot of boys on loan last season who played a really, really big part for them. Jack Hamilton, on loan from Livingston, scored a few goals, which were crucial in keeping them up. He's now back at Livingston, expected to feature there. Ben Williamson, the Rangers youngster, impressed Chris and I hugely during his spell. He's since been loaned to Livingston. And yeah, they've made a few signings. I can't say I'm too familiar with any of them other than Nicky Lowe. They've also signed Joel Noble, the brother of former West Ham forward Frank Noble. I can't say I know too much about any of them. I think the most exciting thing that I've seen relating to Arbroath lately is the interview with Dick Campbell. I sent you the clip earlier on, an edited version. During the League Cup group stages, as is the case at Arbroath, always windy. The kind of sponsor board behind his interview whacked him in the back of the head. So that gave some excitement. There's been a few memes to come from that. But a team that I know you love a lot, I've been quite busy, and that is Ayr United. Some strange moves. Luke McEwen leaving a pure championship favourite original has earned a much-deserved move to Dundee. Then, I mean, Craig Moore's left for Darvel. I think that says a lot about the championship when Darvel, who I couldn't even tell you what league they play in, I understand they've got a bit of money, you might know a bit more about them kind of being from kind of that neck of the woods, but it's just a bit of a strange one. They've made, well, I'm saying a few signings, literally the all bar about two of the signings have all come from Morton, which is just, I'm sure Chris would have plenty to say about that. David Hopkin bringing in tons of Morton players. There's just, it's a strange one. Moving on to Dunfermline. My pars is the first one of the season out the way for those with the season bingo cards. New manager in Peter Grant, kind of discussed that, I believe, in the previous podcast. Few signings, let a go of a few guys. Declan McManus also left for a fee of 60,000, which came as a little bit of a surprise to me. I still think there's a little bit more to get done. Before we discuss the other teams, Riley, I want to ask you about Kilmarnock. Basically, the whole team that were relegated from the Premiership is away near enough, and you've brought in a fair amount of bodies as well, including former Dunfermline captain Ewan Murray.
Yeah, I think, Cammy, it's always difficult when a club does bring in as many players to perform a full judgment until you've seen them playing together over probably the space of at least a month, maybe even 2 months at the start of the season. I think the early signs in pre-season were promising enough, but again, how much can you read into pre-season? We then started the competitive football well with a good enough performance against East Kilbride. It wasn't fantastic, but I think in the second half, certainly the performance levels were fairly encouraging. Obviously, what then happened afterwards maybe takes away from that somewhat, but I think obviously it did feel like there was just an endless conveyor belt of new signings. It felt like most days the Kilmarnock Twitter account was announcing some new player, and to be honest, out of that squad of players that we've brought in, I don't feel like I know enough about them just now in terms of what they can bring to the team and how they would then play with all the other new additions to pass too much of a comment. I think certainly maybe after what the first 9 games, the first round of games in the league, we'll have a fuller picture of what we can expect from Kilmarnock for the rest of the season. I know that's a fairly obvious statement to make, but it is just so difficult to form an early judgment. You don't want to get too optimistic in case the new signings don't gel for whatever reason. By the same token, you don't want to be too pessimistic and write players off too soon. So I think certainly the likes of Fraser Murray and, as you were mentioning, Ewan Murray, they, to me, would seem like good enough signings. I think holding on to Chris Burke, while Burke's getting a little bit older, I think that's massive. I think he'll have a huge role to play. Jason Naismith as well scored against East Kilbride. I think he's a good enough signing. And yeah, I think the recruitment's been sensible enough, Cammy, but until we've seen a wee bit more of this team playing together, I wouldn't want to pass too extensive a judgment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's understandable. And I guess you could say that probably applies for a lot of the teams. First, I and several other Dunfermline fans may have some reservations over the fact where a few players short, that there's still plenty of time for the window. There's, what, 6 mm-hmm. weeks left. I do want to discuss another thing. Much like Ayr United have decided to sign all the Morton cast-offs, Northampton Town have also decided to sign off Kilmarnock's cast-offs. So it's been a bit of a funny window for Championship clubs. So going back to the rest of the clubs, mm-hmm. Morton let go a lot of the team that kind of just scraped survival by through the playoffs, bringing in a few kind of experienced players and a few, they've only brought in, what, 4 or 5 players, a bomb-scared goalkeeper in Jack Hamilton, which is something Morton fans won't be too dissimilar with, given they had Sam Ramsbottom a few seasons ago, who I feel to recall many saves they made, and having had Aidan McAdams last season do so well, I think Morton fans could be in for a bit of a shock when they see Hamilton in goals. Ozugwu up front for them, they've kind of needed a presence for a while, so it'll be interesting to see how he does, having kind of, I mean, he didn't do too much at Raith Rovers, but it'll be an interesting just to kind of see him again. On to Hamilton, another of the newcomers in the league. I can't say I know too much about some of their signings or some of those who've let away. A guy I do know a lot about is Andy Ryan, who was at Dunfermline, and things just really didn't work out for him. Left us, ended up at Stirling Albion, and seems to have done all right for himself, earned himself a move on an undisclosed basis. I've also signed Kieran McDonald from Raith Rovers, a player who was really impressive last season. Have let go a few players I think many would associate with Hamilton over recent seasons, Ross Calkin, Marius Ogbo. But otherwise, kind of kept the team relatively similar to last season. And it's always interesting to see when the team that comes right down, how they adapt. And it'll be the same for Kilmarnock. Obviously, Kilmarnock have had a far larger turnover, but just how these teams adapt, and the same goes for Partick Thistle, who've come up having won League One, just how they adapt to the league, it's always so hard to tell, and I think our predictions that are definitely far too early and are definitely nowhere near correct. It's just really hard to kind of gauge things, and I think we'll still be asking questions of teams right until the kind of very end, really. After Hamilton, we then have Inverness, who I think I've actually seen quite well. Lost Nikolai Todorov, who's joined Dunfermline, and Daniel Mackay, one of the very impressive young guns that was at Inverness last season, now at Hibs. Mm-hmm. The other ones have let go. I don't think they'll miss too much. Lewis Toshney, Brad Mackay, James Vincent, James Keatons. They've replaced them with like Michael Gardine, who, yes, he might be about 400 now, but that's some nice experience. Kirk Broadfoot, again, an experienced player who you know a lot about. Brought Tom Walsh back, signed a pure championship favourite in Manny Duku, and also got Billy Mackay up front. So I think they could be a bit of a dark horse. I don't know if you've maybe got some thoughts on the Broadfoot move to Inverness. So.
I think there were points last season when I ended up, because we couldn't go into the grounds, I didn't watch as much of Kilmarnock last year because you were watching it on the Kelly TV stream, and it's a really good stream that Kelly TV provides, but it just wasn't the same. So it was more difficult to follow how players were performing. But I think Broadfoot under Steve Clark, and I know that most players under Steve Clark were very, very good, but Broadfoot under Steve Clark was excellent. And I know that we're a couple of years down the line again still, but I think there's absolutely the potential that he can do a decent enough job for Inverness. I'd be interested to see how Tom Walsh gets on back up at Inverness as well. Obviously, came back down to Ayr and now he's heading back up to, I say came back down to Ayr, came back down to Ayrshire. He's an Ayrshire boy. But going back up to Inverness, I think he enjoyed his time up there initially. So absolutely, I think he's one maybe to watch quite closely again this season. I think the signings are sensible. They're not too spectacular, but yeah, as you're saying, there may be a team to watch and perhaps one of the teams that we shouldn't be writing off too soon.
I think that was a mistake Chris and I certainly made last season when there was the John Robertson news, when he had to kind of step away. I think they had so many questions to ask and we really weren't sure on them. Neil McCann came in, kind of steadied the ship and they very narrowly missed out on the playoffs in the end. And I think given the kind of young players that have come in, I think on several occasions Chris and I suggested that they could be a team, if not kind of this season, next season, who could kind of really kick on once those young boys have kind of bedded in and got more kind of senior football under the belts, and with the addition of some of the guys they've brought in, I think that there's some really experienced bodies who could certainly help that. Moving on to Partick Thistle, the League One champions from last season, a few signings for them, a few exits as well, and looks kind of like they've kept the team relatively similar. Have lost a few guys to Lowland League sides. A signing that I know quite well is Kyle Turner, who left Dunfermline, kind of got bombed out the team near the end of the last year, was then loaned out to Airdrie after refusing to sign a contract, should I say, with the club. And to be honest, I'm a bit surprised he ended up at Thistle. Started really well last season, kind of tailed off a bit, but I thought maybe better than Thistle, but I think Thistle could be a good place for him, regardless of that. Next up, we have Queen of the South, who once again have done what Queen of the South do, let everyone go and start over again. And this season, though, they're going to be without a man who has been a staple of Queen of the South for several years, and that's Stephen Dobby, who, yes, last season, the season before, he wasn't really up to much, struggled with injuries here and there. But the fact that they've lost him, it's a real kind of changing of the guard at Queen of the South, if you like. Also lost Ayo Obalai, who after being absolutely slaughtered by Chris and I, kind of the first few games of the season, turned into a Team of the Season player. Connor Shields as well, earned himself a move to Motherwell. Dan Pybus earned himself a move to Dunfermline. So there's been plenty of change there, and I can't say I know too much about the signings, but I know that they have signed Rory Payton from Stranraer, someone who I believe you're quite keen on.
Yeah, we'll probably maybe speak a wee bit more about him later on in the episode, Cammy, but I was speaking to Gavin to get more of an idea about what we can expect from him. I know that Gavin's expecting fairly big things from him. He's quite excited about that signing, so I did speak to Gavin about what can we expect from Rory Payton in the Championship this year. He seems to have made a decent enough start for them as well in the Premier Sports Cup. So let's keep an eye on him and hopefully he can have a really positive season.
And finally, we've got Raith Rovers, who were perhaps a surprise package of last season, kind of ran out of gas in the end, were beaten in the playoffs by Dundee, who would then go on sorry to remind you, Ali, to beat your Kilmarnock and end themselves a place in the Premiership for this season. Now, Raith were very quick to get their business done. I'd kind of announced a few signings on pre-contracts before the season ended. And initially, I was like, yeah, some all right signings there. Christoph Berra from Hearts, yes, he can't move at all. But we've seen him in the Championship not too long ago with Hearts and with Dundee as well. And that's some nice experience to add. James Keatings has joined the lover. I think he loves the Championship as much as, well, as much as me and now you as a Championship fan. And then they've also already won the award for the most handsome player in the league, having signed Tam Lang from Clyde. Otherwise, did let go of a fair few and did lose a player that I know a lot of us are all keen on at Pure Football, and that is Regan Hendry, who's earned himself a move to Forest Green Rovers down south. Kieran McDonald, as we mentioned earlier, is off to Hamilton. Manny Duku is off to Inverness. Dan Armstrong has joined Duke Kilmarnock. Gozegu joined Morton. So yeah, there's certainly been a lot of changes at Raith Rovers, and it'll be interesting to see how they adapt with all these kind of new names in. That team last season was largely the team that was the one that won the league, won the season before with one or two additions. This time, it's can they kind of build on last season, which was a fantastic season, which took everyone by surprise. So is there any of names I've mentioned going for all the teams, is there any one that particularly stands out for you?
To be honest, I'm quite excited by Fraser Murray. I know that that's not the most adventurous pick or the hottest of takes from me, but I think the early signs in pre-season, and again, you can only take so much from pre-season, but the early signs are good. I think he seems like a player who will give us something extra this season that we probably didn't have last year. Someone who's willing to just give you that something extra, that something a little bit spontaneous. So I'm probably saying, yeah, that's been my favourite signing, and I know that that's me saying that with my blue-tinted Kilmarnock specs on, but I think he could be in store for a really positive season, Cammy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think Fraser Murray last season in the Championship, although he found himself in and out of the Dunfermline team, scored some absolutely cracking goals, a few good free kicks along the way, including one against Kilmarnock when you were playing the, I think, the under-fives team because of the whole kind of COVID situation, but still, yeah, it was a cracking goal. But moving on, we're going to start talking kit. So, yeah, you had that talking kit, not the other one that you might have thought I said. But we do that anyway. So, obviously, a new season brings around many new kits. At the tail end of last season, I shared the news that I'd been part of the Dunfermline Athletic kind of kit launch. But we're going to
basically a kit connoisseur, Cammy. So I feel decidedly underqualified to discuss kits in your presence, but I'll give it my best go.
I think that's the best kind of praise I've ever been given on a podcast. But I mean, there's a few cracking kits and a few not so cracking kits this year, but I think we're both in agreement that Greenock Morton's home one, which is our kind of anniversary special, is an absolute belter of a kit. Now, traditional Morton in the sense it's blue and white hoops, no sponsor. The sponsors for Morton agreed not to kind of put that on the front of their shirt, kind of not to ruin it. And I think everyone loves a sponsorless shirt. It just looks class. And the gold badge is just another really, really nice touch. I know that's a favourite for you. What else is kind of stood out for you?
I'm going to sound biased again. I do quite like the Kilmarnock kit, but I would like to just focus again on that Morton kit. I know that you've spoken about it there, but I do think, I mean, I said in the group chat earlier when I was on my lunch break, I said, do we like the Morton home kit? And I think it's one of those kits that at first you think, oh, I love that, but then the more you think about it, you think, oh, do I really love it? And I think I do love it. I think it is an absolute beauty. I'm quite looking forward to seeing how it looks actually when players are running about in it, if it will still look as timeless. But no, I think it's a really nice kit. I think it's quite a subtle kit. It doesn't try too hard. Sometimes these sort of retro kits or throwback kits can sometimes scream of trying too hard, but I don't think this kit does. So yeah, lovely kit. Just hopefully Morton can produce some good performances in it to satisfy our good friend Chris Sampson. And yeah, as I was saying, I think the Kilmarnock home tops is quite nice. I do enjoy the Browning sponsor. I think it's always nice to have a good local sponsor as well. I think it works quite well with the kit. We've not tried too hard again. I think that's whenever you see a dodgy looking kit, one of the reasons for that kit looking so dodgy is that the kit designers have probably tried too hard. I don't think the kit designers have tried too hard here. I think they've got it spot on. And I would just say, not that I'm wanting to incur the wrath of A United fans too early on, because I'm sure I'll have plenty of opportunities to do so as the season progresses, Cammy, but I was just flicking through the Pine Bovril forum and I saw that the Air United away kit is the same as the training top that Kilmarnock were wearing before their game with East Kilbride at the weekend. So I'm not quite sure how the Air United fans would be. Well, I do know how some of the Air United fans feel about that based on the reactions on Pine Bovril, and it wasn't the most positive of reactions. I think they also had a vote, the Air United fans, and they've obviously not realised that they were voting for Kilmarnock's training top. Yeah, that'll be an interesting one if Air United come to play Kilmarnock and we're warming up in the top that they're ultimately going to be wearing, if it's the away top they're wearing. Regardless, it's not even that the kit's not nice. I think the kit's fine. It's not too horrendous. I think it's fine as kits go, but I just think the fact that they're ultimately sharing their away kit with Kilmarnock's training top, and I don't even think that's going to be our training top for the rest of the season. I think we've maybe got other training tops coming as well. So maybe that softens the blow for United fans, but regardless, I think maybe the damage has kind of been done as far as that kit's concerned.
Talking of Kilmarnock kits, adding on to that, I want to give a shout out to the third kit, purple, love a purple kit, kind of Fiorentina-esque. It's one of those, probably just a catalogue kit, but just the purple and the white just looks so classy and cool. How often we'll see that, I don't really know, but a kit that I think, I'm not too sure on your thoughts on it, this might fall into your kind of category of trying too hard with the kind of retro feel, but it's Partick Thistle's new away kit, which is kind of like a take on a Germany kit. Well, obviously the colours being the same, it's like a kind of, it would pass as a Germany kit, and you'd be like, that's pretty cool. And I think this is pretty cool. It's, well, some might say they've tried too hard, I think it's just nice, and it just works. The colours are nice, it's simple, well, simple in my eyes anyway, and just does a job.
Absolutely. So I think Thistle's colours obviously lend themselves to quite a nice kit, quite a nice home kit, and quite a nice away kit. And again, it's one of those ones that's quite difficult to mess up, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as you're saying, I think it's a lovely kit, a wee retro feel to it, and yeah, they've not tried too hard either. Yeah, it's a good kit.
So moving on then, we're going to make our far too early predictions. If you're a long-term listener of the podcast, you'll know that Chris and I were absolutely terrible at predictions, and we're never very close. I think I got about two league positions right last year, and I think Chris maybe got one if he was lucky. So let's see if that kind of prediction luck stays the same or changes now that Ali's on board. So Ali, if you'd like to read to me what your league table prediction is for this year's championship.
Yeah, Cammy, I'm very much learning on the job here. I've historically not paid too much attention, relatively speaking, to the championship. So I do apologise if I offend anybody here with horrendous predictions. I will be learning on the job, learning with under your expert guidance. And so this is what I've gone for. I've said that Aki's will win the league. I don't really know why. I probably didn't want to say that Kelly would win the league. That would maybe seem a bit too cocky, perhaps, and might tempt the wrong sort of fate. So I've gone for Aki's to win the league. I've put Kelly in at second. I think a lot of that depends on what we were saying earlier, how quickly the new signings will be able to gel and be able to form a cohesive team. If they can hit the ground running, to use a cliche, then I think second should probably be the minimum they're aiming for, in my opinion, based on the calibre of the signing, the amount of money that they seem to be putting towards the transfer budget this season. I've then gone for your pars in third place. Cammy, you've not even paid me to say to say that. I think obviously it was only one game against Partick, but I think it looked like the Pars were playing some really nice stuff. It looked like Grant Scotland playing some nice football. And I don't know how much of the 4-2 result was down to Partick's inability off the ball and how much of it was down to Dunfermline playing well, but promising enough signs. I'm going to go for them in third. Inverness in fourth, yeah, just kind of feeding off of what you were saying earlier. I think there's a fairly solid squad there, some exciting players coming through. I've then gone for Partick in fifth. I think I did spend quite some time deciding whether or not I'd put Partick in fifth or sixth and whether or not I'd put Raith in fifth or sixth, but I think those two could maybe be vying for like that fifth position. I know fifth position does, but I think fifth and sixth probably could be between Partick and Raith. I think obviously Partick are riding a wave of sorts after winning League One last season, and Raith have maybe lost a few players, but I think as you were saying, Cammy, they've recruited quite sensibly. They've recruited early as well. So, yeah, potentially Raith could be pushing for fifth, maybe even fourth as well. But, yeah, Partick fifth, Raith sixth. And then seventh, I've gone for Queens. I've gone for Arbroath in eighth. Obviously, what you were saying, Cammy, they've lost a couple or a few important players who played an important role for them last season. I've gone for Ayr in ninth. And I know that this could come back to bite me if Ayr have a really good season. The Ayr United fans will no doubt be slating me, and at the end of the day, I think a number of those teams from seventh down to tenth could probably find themselves in the ninth and tenth spots. But I think Ayr's signings don't fully convince me, and their initial performances in the Premier Sports Cup, I don't think that was too convincing. And then Morton, sorry to say, Chris Sampson, and I really don't want to incur the wrath of Chris Sampson, but I'm just sceptical of their prospects this season. They barely survived last year, and I don't really think their close season business is too much reason for optimism. I could be totally wrong about all of this, Cammy, and that's the joys of trying to predict a league table. But yeah, Akies, Kelly, Pars, Inverness, Caledonian Thistle, Partick, Thistle, Raith Rovers, Queens, Arbroath, Ayr and Morton. That's my 1-10 league prediction.
So my prediction then, I've went Kelly. You weren't wanting to put them there. I just think for some reason they should be winning the league. I know we've had a lot of teams in the league in recent seasons, Hearts, Dundee United, and it was kind of a given they'd win it. I don't necessarily think this is the case this season. I think the league is really, really kind of compact, as it always is. I don't think there's much between sides. Kelly maybe edge it slightly in some areas of the park, but after that, the team that I kind of said would be a potential actor, I'm going to put Inverness second. I wrongly said they'd finish, I think, ninth last season. Completely wrong with that. And yeah, I think this is just going to be my complete curveball pick. I've went Pars third. I think that's just my optimism, putting them third. I know what it's like. We'll start really bright, fade away, and just scrape the playoffs if we're lucky. Raith Rovers fourth, although I did share some reservations about those and how their team will fare after losing some of the kind of key players of last season. I still think John McGlynn, given kind of his managerial ability, should still manage to guide the Rovers in. I was saying Inverness might be my curveball shout, but this might actually be it instead. Hamilton fifth. Oof. Now, this sounds mental, and Hamilton fans listening will be calling me all sorts, but we've seen in recent seasons, the one that really swings to mind was when St Mirren came down and were very nearly automatically relegated. Some teams just really struggle, and I think Hamilton held on for so long in the Premiership. And whether we're going to see a different style of play now they're in a league where it's more of a level playing field for them, I don't know. But for some reason, I just see them not faring too well. Partick Thistle sixth, I think they should do much better than they did last time they were in the league, which was just a complete disaster of a season. Queen of the South seventh, I think much like you, between my 7th and 10th spots could really be interchangeable. And if you asked me tomorrow, I'd probably change it. But I'll say Queen of the South 7th for now. Arbroath 8th, although if they manage to sign a solid striker, kind of like Jack Hamilton, who can score, and have him for the have a player like that for the full season, I'd maybe rank them higher. But just not knowing too much about the striking options at the moment means I'll rank them 8th. I'm going to have Morton in 9th, and then I'm going to have Greenock United, otherwise known as Ayr United, sitting in 10th. I just, I'm just not filled with any confidence. The fact that they've signed all the Morton players that were not good enough for Morton, it just doesn't bode well for me.
Sorry, can I just jump in there? I'd say though their performances in the Premier Sports Comp haven't really convinced so far, but I totally missed Tuesday night's games. I was out and about and hadn't paid any attention to the results because I was still disappointed that Kelly would probably be having to forfeit that game against East Kilbride. But Ayr did beat Edinburgh City 3-0 on Tuesday night, and that was after Hamilton had really limped past Edinburgh City on Friday night. So maybe that will give Ayr fans reason for optimism. I'm not going to reevaluate my prediction of them finishing in 9th, but maybe it gives them slightly more confidence, certainly after that performance against, was it Albion Rovers, wasn't it, on the opening day of the Premier Sports Cup?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in the game that you're referencing, it was the new striker that scored the pair. I can't say I know too much about him, but we've seen kind of strikers come up from down south and make an impact. Manny Duku last season or something, a fantastic start, and kind of faded away, but now has a move to Inverness where I think he's going to play regularly, and really looking forward to seeing Manny up there and seeing what he can do under the guidance of Billy Dodds, who is the new Inverness manager. That wasn't something we actually touched upon when we were discussing Inverness. And I mean, I couldn't say I was too inspired by that, much like I wasn't too inspired by the appointment of Neil McCann yet. Neil McCann managed to prove me wrong, and whether Billy Dodds manages to do the same, obviously time will tell. I've perhaps very optimistically placed him in second, but I guess we'll see come end of April, start of May next year. But with league table predictions out of the way, I'm now going to move on to top scorer prediction. Now, I'm going to name Pars's new Bulgarian hitman, Nikolai Todorov, as the top scorer for this season, and I'm going to say he's going to score 14 goals. Who is your top scorer for this season?
I'm going to copy your answers here, Cammy, and I'm also going to say Nikolai Todorov, but I'm going to say he's going to register 16 goals. I've just plucked an arbitrary figure out of thin air because I really do not know how many goals he will score. You put me on the spot when I was walking back from getting my hair cut tonight, and I said 16 goals, that'll do. I think certainly his performance against Partick Thistle, and we can emphasise how poor defensively Thistle were in that game, but I don't think we can take anything away from Todorov's performance there. I think he looked really good, took that volleyed lob really well, I felt. So I think Pars have signed a player who perhaps Kelly could maybe have been doing with signing. I know that Ennis Cameron's maybe one to watch, but certainly the chat on the Kelly forums is that there is still a striker slot there to be filled, and I'm slightly envious of Dunfermline having signed Todorov. I think he'll have a really good season for your lot.
Let's hope that's the case. I mean, I wouldn't say he would have been the first player I'd have signed. I don't know who would have been that first signing, much kind of like Peter Grant's appointment. He was a name I was aware of, also impressed last season. But it just wasn't a move that I kind of expected to happen, which is maybe why I didn't really kind of have him on my radar. I think he did say declined moves to Premiership clubs in favour of joining the Pars. And if I'm honest, I just kind of had him down as being like one of those guys who join Livingston and do really well there for some reason. But obviously, he's at the Pars, hopefully scores. I'll take your high number of 16. I think if he manages that, the Pars will be doing all right. So that would be interesting. Moving on then to a league MVP prediction. Now, there's what? About 250 players in the Championship, give or take. Whittling it down to just one player is far from easy. Tell me the player that you are predicting as the league MVP this season?
I've gone for Rudy Payton purely based on Gav Miller's scout report, and I'll give him full credit for this. I asked Gav, I said to Gav, I'm quite keen to speak about Rudy Payton on Pure Championship. What's so good about him specifically, though? I've heard lots of good things about him on Twitter, but none of those good things have been too detailed, so I wanted to find out a bit more. So Gav said he's a goal-scoring inside forward, good feet and technical ability, has a bit of a kind of like, not so much a point to prove, but there's that kind of drive and ambition there to show that, you know, he can absolutely do it at this level, a really positive drive and ambition to show that he can do it at this level. So that's always a positive, I think. He's aggressive and someone who has a good ability to get into the right areas at the right time. Mobile, he's versatile, he's a threat who can play anywhere across the front three. And even in his early days at Queens, we're seeing some really positive signs. I think, obviously, for me, he's a relative unknown, but I didn't really want to pick a Kelly player here because, I didn't want it to come across as me assuming that Kelly would walk their way through this league. I don't think that at all. I think this will be a really difficult year for Kelly, and there's absolutely no guarantee that they'll either win the league or even finish in the playoff spots. And I don't think Tommy Wright is taking that for granted either. So I was quite keen to look elsewhere, and that was why I've looked to Rudy Payton as my prediction for the MVP, and Gav's mini scout report just sort of reinforced that opinion.
I'm a huge fan of just the, I don't know, think how much you thought outside the box for this one. This is a completely random one, yet one that I think would earn you a nice scouting job or a nice job picking lottery numbers for people. If
all the credit has to go to Gav, to be honest, Cammy. I've seen Gav. I'm getting the two of your names mixed up. I'm all flustered, Cammy. I've seen Gav speaking about him on Twitter. I've seen other people speaking about him on Twitter, and I was keen to find out a bit more. So I'm really looking forward to watching Rudy Payton's progress this season. Hopefully he'll have a really productive season. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching him.
So I've went for a much, much safer option, and I've went for Kilmarnock midfielder Liam Polworth, and I've based this on the last two seasons he played in the Championship. A few years ago at Inverness, when he had a combined 30 assists over the course of those two seasons, Polworth just oozed class. He was unreal, was central to Inverness's kind of playoff runs those seasons, and yeah, I think if he can kind of find similar levels of performance in the Championship again, Kilmarnock, much like Dunfermline, will be doing all right if Todorov scores 16. If Polworth can get kind of double figures for assists, it's going to be looking pretty good. We've seen last season the impact that Charl Adam had, who is clearly a class above everyone in the league. And now I'm not saying for a second Liam Polworth is Charl Adam. He's not. But given the kind of, he's been in the Premiership with Motherwell for what, a season or two now? So he's kind of got that experience at playing at a higher level. Obviously, the Championship, a very difficult league, and it'd be wrong of him to just come back and think he'll stroll it again. But knowing what he's done in this league previously gives me a fairly safe thought that he should do all right again. I think, though, although I've said Liam Polworth could be the MVP, I think if Todorov manages to get the 14 or 16 goals that I've said, I think he'll be up there. Obviously, most of these awards are dished out to the goal scorers these days, which is why I kind of wanted to try and just name a midfielder instead.
Yeah. I'm interested, Cammy, just before we do move on, to hear your thoughts on Kyle McDonald at Dunfermline. Could he potentially be another MVP or another candidate for MVP come the end of the season?
I mean, I think if we really should have split this into a goalkeeping MVP, a defensive MVP, midfield and striker. But
hindsight, Cammy, hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Exactly. But yeah, if we're talking solely defensive, I think at every chance McDonald was really decent in the win over Partick, got a goal. The Pars are playing a quite a different system to what it was last season. Kind of, it was a 3-4-3, 3-5-2, 5-3-2, kind of however you're wanting to look at it. Mm-hmm. And McDonald was at wing back on one of the sides, Josh Edwards on the other, and the kind of right back we've had for several seasons, Aaron Comrie, is now playing as a kind of right centre back. And yeah, it just seems to be working. Although we didn't have much success against St Mirren, team was just a bit leggy, didn't really get many chances, and I think St Mirren's Premiership class just kind of ultimately showed as they won the game through in Paisley. But yeah, McDonald, I think, is a player who, having come in January, re-signed him. He was meant to be going back to Airdrie once the League One season started. It was then decided we'd just loan them Kyle Turner instead, and McDonald stayed. And he'd played a few games, and kind of like what you were saying earlier on, you can't really get too much of a feel for a player watching on a stream. I found it really hard last season to really get a connect to a lot of the Pars players, whereas in previous seasons, it's so much easier. And I think this goes for every fan. It's so much easier seeing stuff when you're at the game. You can just, you notice a lot more than you do on the stream when it's a lot further away. Absolutely. It's grainy. So McDonald is a player I'm really excited to see this season. Kind of showed some promise in the games he played, and has started the season well. So yeah, defensive MVP perhaps. I don't know if I'd go so far as to suggest league MVP. I think you'd need to kind of be a Trent Alexander-Arnold or a kind of a player of that ilk to even be considered. But who knows?
Leonardo Bonucci, perhaps. I know the different positions, but still.
But yeah, you're talking a very, very special player to win a defensive, be a defender and win the kind of best player.
Can I just chip in with a couple of Kelly players who I'm not saying will go on to be league MVPs, but I think they could really have an important role to play for Kilmarnock this season. Obviously, I've mentioned Fraser Murray before. I think it will be quite interesting to see how he fares. He's made a really positive start for Kilmarnock. And also, Ennis Cameron, obviously he has experience of the Championship, and I think that experience of the Championship will be really beneficial for him playing for Kilmarnock. I would imagine if we're going to play a system whereby Fraser Murray and Chris Burke are sort of providing him with support, whether that's in a narrow sense or in a wider sense, I'm not quite sure how we'll line up, but certainly that was the impression I was getting from the game against East Kilbride. And I think they will provide them with service, I would imagine. In particular, Chris Burke will provide them with service. I think Ennis Cameron hit the bar against East Kilbride. He narrowly missed connecting with a ball across goal, which if he connects with it, it's a tap in and it's a goal. So I think he's been getting into good positions in pre-season and in the cup so far. If he can just start finding the net, I think he could have a really positive season for us as well. And hopefully, I think all the fans want him to do well. He's obviously come through at Kelly. He's been there for a fairly decent amount of time. He feels like one of the sort of remnants from like the last few years, but a positive remnant. So yeah, I think everybody really wants Ennis Cameron to do well at Rugby Park.
Yeah, Ennis Cameron's actually a kind of outside shout for top scorer, actually. I hadn't thought, well, I'm saying I forgot about him. I definitely hadn't forgot about him, but it wasn't something until you'd mentioned his name there that kind of set alarm bells ringing. And last season at Alloa, he came in and having struggled to air in the first half of the season, I couldn't say I was too impressed with him. He then went to Alloa in a system that just seemed to suit him more. And I can't help but think, had he been at Alloa the full season, Al would have probably stayed up. He had quite a good goal return at Alloa, and not wanting to just presume this, but given he's going to be playing for higher calibre of players at Kilmarnock, he's obviously going to be playing full-time with these guys, training full-time with these guys, unlike with Alloa, where it's like a night or two a week. Ennis Cameron could genuinely score a lot of goals. I think, if I hadn't said Todorov, and I'd maybe thought about it a bit more, Cameron could well have been a shout. I think he'll probably hit double figures at least, and I think...
Don't put the kiss of death on him, Cameron. Listen, I'm not saying anything. That's why I'm not backing a Kelly player to be MVP. That's why I'm not backing Kelly to win the league, because if I back something, it doesn't happen. I backed England to win the Euros at the quarterfinals, knowing fine well that I would be putting the kiss of death on them. So you can all thank me, not Roberto Mancini, for that. If you were wanting Italy to win, of course, you might have been wanting England to win, and that's also totally fine. But everything that I back turns to not so much gold as sawdust.
So I think that's a nice kind of way to wrap things up. So this season the podcast isn't going to be weekly, as long-term listeners will have kind of come to have known and loved, I hope, anyway. So the plan is to do it bi-weekly. We're going to take a bit of a different approach with the podcast, going to look more at the storylines developing and try and get more fans involved. We do, I'm not going to say who just yet, but we do already have two interviews with two championship players organised that'll be coming in the coming weeks, months. And of course, we'll get many more of them done throughout the season, bringing the kind of championship players to you. So if there's any players that you would like to hear from, be sure to hit us up on Twitter, and we can see what we can do. And yeah, hopefully that is content you enjoy. So that brings an end to the season three opener of Pure Championship. We've got a new signing in Ali Madden. There's plenty of new signings in the league. Some terrible predictions have been made, but I am well and truly ready to get on the championship roller coaster for another season, and I hope you are too, Ali.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me, Cammy, and thanks for bringing me on board.